David Cameron?
Pig fucker.
No, he didn't say that. He said he was asked, do they have the right to offer lectures?
I did a podcast 3 weeks ago which called him out and criticised him.
I don't listen to your podcast, Ed.
Well done. It's called Political Currency, and you should. Because you're
I'm not, I don't want to watch you giggling with George Osborne about the architect of austerity. I don't want to do that.
The point is,
better things to do with my life.
This is great banter. It really is.
Hello and welcome to Pod Culture Vultures.
Tastes so good, make you want to slap your mama, don't it, Willie?
Yeah, boy. Hey, mama.
What the hell you want with...
With me, your chubby, cheeky, chappy Dino, and joined with me, as always, is me hetero life mate, Keverini Beardface. How's it hanging, love?
Lovely, very nice indeed.
Sweet.
No. What shall we talk about?
Under Siege.
Boom.
Is it 92?
It is 92, yeah.
1992. Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Seagal. Now, what I noticed as well is that I forgot there was an Under Siege 2 as well, because I kept thinking it was on a train, but that's the second one.
Yeah, Dark Territory. Did it a few years later.
Yeah. Can't be
which,
easy, yeah.
Which was nowhere near as good.
They never are, though, are they? Well, the first one's not that great on watching it.
I love the first one.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it entertains me.
So, Steven Seagal plays the lead.
Yeah. Casey Ryback.
Just a cook.
Just a cook.
He's just a cook.
He's got a really like quiet kind of voice.
Yeah. But he's just a cook because he's, again, a bit of a maverick. He's knocked out his... in charge officer, so he's been bumped down so he can only be a cook, even though he's a highly decorated marine or whatever.
Yeah, he's had a moment of the insubordination or so, isn't he? And what is it you find out? He's basically decked a superior officer or something, isn't it? And
he knocked out his superior officer, yeah.
That's what, yeah. But the cap on the previous frigate and his captain liked him anyway and liked his cooking.
Yeah,
and therefore he brings him on to the I was going to say HMS, it's the USS Missouri, isn't it? Because it's based on a real frigate. It was a real frigate which did get decommissioned at some point after it served its time.
Well, they got the footage of George Bush.
They have, haven't they? Yeah.
At the beginning.
But without the old signature ponytail in this one, because at this point, old Steven Seagal, didn't he had... the old ponytail he'd grown, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But everywhere. Because, you know, it's quite surprising that he actually took it that seriously, that he cut it all off because, the Navy don't allow anything like that. You've got to have the old short back and sides. But I'm just a cook. But I think that demonstrates that at this point, especially for this movie, he actually tried and took it seriously because he's done... I've watched most of his movies, and some of the ones he did before were really good. Like, I think he started off with Nico, which was all right. Mark for Death was brilliant, with all the voodoo stuff. Mm. And it all kind of leads up to this one here, which is his Die Hard on a Navy frigate.
Very Die Hard.
It's very Die Hard, yeah. And then after, you know, you do the sequel, then after this, he's just done a string of shit. I think he's got Russian... but what's it called? Citizenship.
Right, yeah.
He's well in there with Putin.
Yeah, he went a bit funny, didn't he?
But he does all these films now in like Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And me and my mate Nath have watched pretty much all of them now. but they're awful, and it's such a far cry from Under Siege where in his films now he's a little bit like Vin Diesel, like nobody can beat him up. No, he never gets a scratch. He could be in an explosion and nothing gets blown up. He could be in a car wreck and nothing gets like, you know, cut or anything like that. He's very, they're so similar that in, I think it's Fast and Furious 7, I think it is, there's a scene where Vin Diesel is he's in a car park, and he's trying to escape this car park because there's a gunship after him or something like that. And the gunship takes out the whole car park of this ridiculous fight he has. And the whole car park blows up, right? And then basically he's in it. He manages to get out of the rubble. And when he gets out of the rubble, he gets out of the car, there's not one scratch on him, right? And he's got a perfectly white T-shirt. And then it happens again, or maybe before, where he drives off the back of this cliff or mountain or whatever it is, in a dune buggy thing. He's rolling down, gets to the end, and whoever he's with, like Michel Rodriguez, I think he's got some scratches, he gets out and he's got a mark on him. And that's what Steven Seagal's movies become later in life, where he's absolutely indestructible, nobody can even lay a hand on him, and he pervs on and gets all the young Russian women who are probably like old, young enough to be his granddaughters.
God. Yeah,
he looks ridiculous because he's got the old hairpiece on. He's got the orange rifle glasses on all the time. Big old goatee. He's got the old Just for Men going on in the
Yes.
Yeah, he's really big.
Does he wear those glasses all the time?
He wears them all the time. And he wears like his big, massive leather coats to hide his like beer gut and stuff. And then it's really unbelievable when he's supposed to be this... he's supposed to be like a Marine or a soldier... And he's got all the tactical gear on, and he can't run too far. And but that's where it's
a fucking embarrassment.
It is embarrassing, but it's worth watching because it's brilliant because it's so embarrassing. And he's done loads of them, and they come out. He'll do like two or three movies a year now.
Blimey!
So that's where he goes later in life.
Yeah.
With Under Siege, this is when he's in his prime. And he actually really gives a shit for this one.
Yeah. I'm just looking at...
Because he's a really likable character, I find. I think he's a really likable character in this one. And he is a bit like John McClane.
He's not too over the top, is he?
No, he's not. And he's
not really in this one.
And there's a right balance of humour, isn't there? Like, he cracks jokes every now and again, and they are generally funny.
Well, what I would say, though, is... Not only have you got Steven Seagal on this, you've got Tommy Lee Jones, who I think is brilliant as a villain in
it. He steals the show, though, doesn't he?
He's fucking amazing, because he's just absolutely nuts. And also, you've got Gary Busey in it, right?
He's always nuts.
And you talk about buttered sausage. I'm going to talk about buttered sausage. No, but it turns up, and at the beginning, you just think, oh, yeah, it's just a typical... sort of early 90s Boosie role for him, where he's a bit like he is in, say, Lethal Weapon or...
Point Break
or Predator 2.
Hey, Utah.
Give me two. Well, now, when he's Pappas in Point Break, he's quite cool. I mean, in the early 70s and 90s, Gary Busey was always played sort of like a hippie... surfer kind of dude, which is why I think he was in Point Break, because he was in a film called Big Wednesday, which is a really big surfer type film from the 70s. But then he started playing these sort of suited up hard asses,
yuppie hard arts,
that sort of thing. And he's high up, and he's a high ranking officer, isn't he? And he's giving Seagal shit or whatever.
Yeah, you don't like him, does he?
Yeah. No, and then all of a sudden, when they're doing the surprise for the major, which you probably don't really want, but little do we know that all this food that's coming on with these people and a band and Erica...
Elenik
coming over as a surprise, she's going to jump out of a cake with her knockers out for him.
Yeah, so the captain's having a birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're planning to provide a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
But little do they know that the reason for the birthday party is...
because they're getting Tommy Lee Jones...
The terrorist
on the ship, along with Erica...
Elenik. So they get... Again...
So the thing is, when... it's also a brilliant excuse, so Tommy Lee Jones can wear a tie-dye T-shirt, a leather jacket, and a bandana and glasses... because he's supposed to be the singer in a band.
Like a rock blues band. He looks a little bit like Keith Richards, doesn't he? He's got the old harmonica. Like...
Yeah. But then the weirdest thing that just just takes me out. Like, you've had that beginning bit with Boosie, who's all Larry and all that. He's locked Steven Seagal in the freezer and all this.
That's because he doesn't want him to spoil the plans, doesn't he? Because he's like, only I cook for the captain.
Yeah, he doesn't want him to spoil the plans or anything. But then when the band's playing, he fucking walks in all dressed as a woman dancing around pretending to be that... what's her name who's come on to tap out the cake?
He's stuck a couple of balloons down
there. Yeah, and he's dancing around and all like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
But it's funny because you've got all the crew sort of get down a bit, but there's just like that little row of that table, isn't there, where you've got all the other high ranking officers and they've just got like a real sort of thing up their arse, something. They're just like, is that so and so? That's not professional.
But it's just sort of like from the last 10 minutes that you've seen this character, it's completely out of character.
Yeah.
And then, and obviously it turns to them saying who's the highest ranking officer in here, and they say it's me, so they shoot him in the head. But then you find out that Boosie's in with these terrorists, and they go down to the captain's
office,
bump him off so they can get in his safe so they can get the coordinates that they need for the missiles. But there's also his write-ups on all his officers. And Boosie sat down reading this one saying that
listen to this shit I've had to put up with.
And it's like he said he's demented. And then he looks at Tommy Lee Jones and goes, do I look demented? And he's just got lipstick, fucking eyeliner on, and a hairnet where his wig was, a couple of fake tits. And then somebody goes, absolutely not.
I recommend he be psycho-evaluated.
Yeah, do I look like a psycho?
But that's the, when, yeah, because it's all kind of like, all weird and yeah, like strange and quite funny and in maybe the wrong way. But when he shoots the officer, when Tommy Lee Jones asks who's the highest ranking officer and he shoots in front of everyone, that's when the whole tone changes. Everything changes because then, like as you say, these are terrorists. They've infiltrated along with the entertainment.
Yeah.
And again, a little bit sort of like Die Hard, where they infiltrate the Nakatomi building as though they are supposed to be workers, aren't they? And then they integrate themselves into like the situation before they really establish who they are. And then they get like all the launch codes and stuff, don't they, from the missiles and stuff. Yeah. What's the missiles? They're not Hawkeye missiles, are they? What are they? Oh, come back to me in a minute.
But they
aim to take over the ship, don't they?
Yeah, and there's stuff like when Tommy Lee goes 4 minutes ahead of schedule. Damn, I'm good.
But he's scene stealing, isn't he? He's so over the top. Yeah. Which I think is really good in terms of how it kind of counterbalances Gary Busey's like really seriousness. Apart from like when he dresses up as a woman, he's very serious. He's got a real fucking chip on his shoulder because this is a guy who, if he played his cards right, if he wasn't just a prick, you know, if he just followed orders, he probably would be the captain.
Yeah.
So you've got these two characters who eventually start to conflict with each other, aren't they? he's just sort of brilliant, isn't he? They both are in their own little rights. Tommy Lee Jones is just really over the top. Gary Busey's the straight guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also, Tommy Lee Jones calls himself the Roadrunner because he's never been caught.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. Meep, beep. But there is obviously, so now I'm going to skip a little bit as I do normally, but there's a thing where Seagal's managed to get the rocket aimed at the submarine, which is what Boosie's going out in, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So they think they're going to get away with it, but it's almost like just before that missile hits the submarine, it's almost like he looks at the camera.
It's like, ah, bugger.
Shit. Like a cartoon, like in Roadrunner.
He's like, like Wile E. Coyote moment, isn't it? Like,
Yeah, but Tommy Lee's fucking great in that. When there's an explosion, the thing, he's hurt his ears, and he comes and goes, right, what do we have to do?
What's happening when he comes in? And he comes into, like, the command centre, He's just done that. He comes in and he falls over the console, and he starts talking about Saturday morning cartoons being the best thing, like for no apparent reason. Yeah. He's completely fucking out there, isn't he?
He's a Pluto man.
He's a Pluto man. You fucking god, Mr. Joshua. Yeah, yeah.
But then
yeah,
he does the old thing with the button.
I don't know about you, but didn't you find that when watching that, especially when he's playing with the buttons and he's launching the missiles, that you could see why that, you know, Joel Schumacher probably
Two-Face,
yeah, yes. Yeah, because he's very much the same, isn't he? It's like he turned over like late at night and was like, "There's my Two-Face," in like 3 years' time.
Yeah,
it's still bugging me the missiles, but yeah, he's just pretty brilliant, isn't he?
And but then I think it's funny as well. Also, this is the same time that Tommy Lee Jones did Natural Born Killers as well. Yes. When he was brilliant in that as well.
Oh, his Tash as well, yeah.
What's his name in that? Fucking don't even let him speak.
I don't care what your fucking name is.
He's a warden, isn't he?
He's got the little pinches. He tries pinching that guy that he makes.
Grabs him around and he ties the wire around so he can't undo him. That's it. But then it's like Robert Downey Jr. when he says, close up on him, do that, get that ridiculous laugh. No, stop, don't even let him answer. Yeah, but he's the good.
So what they do is once they've infiltrated the ship, they round up all the crew and they lock them, don't they, in the lower levels of the ship. They put them all into one place and they completely forget about Seagal, Casey Ryback.
Yeah, and that's Boosie's fault, isn't it?
And it's Boosie's fault, yeah. So he sends... So they've got a guard watching Ryback. Ryback's trying to get himself out of there. Mm. Out of there. He's basically... Well, straight away, you can see that he's...
Yeah.
He's careful of other people. He's trying to save this young soldier's life. Because he's saying, well, why would they do this? Do you know what I mean? You know, use your training, you know... just call up and see what's going on. Yeah. And when they say we're going to send someone down, he's like, basically they're going to kill you, mate.
Yeah.
You need to let me out and I'll save you. So he manages to escape, and then that's when it really becomes Die Hard on a ship, because you've got a Lone Ranger.
But so, it's just when he says about to the guy that's supposed to be watching him, get my pies out of the oven.
That's it, yeah, because he burns his lemon meringue pies, don't he? Get my pies out of the oven. And then, he goes on a one-man mission, doesn't he, to basically save the day. And at this point, when they send the two terrorists down to relieve the soldier, because they're going to kill Ryback, that's when Boosie realises, oh, we've got one man who's in a place now where he can access the entire ship. But little does he know of Ryback's experience at the time, because he thinks he's just a cook. Then he pulls his record from the captain.
He's like, fuck.
And he's like a double-R, fucking triple train Bruce Lee bastard, isn't he?
Yeah.
he's the guy. He's the guy you don't fuck with. Like Lawrence Fishburne in Predators. I'm the one to go the way. The one you don't fuck with. And he is. You don't fuck with him because you don't know, even from an audience perspective, you don't know what his background is until then. However, when you think back to how they've introduced the character, he's very good with a knife, you know.
Oh yeah, because he's cooking. Yeah,
he's very well organized. He's strategic.
He's good with a knife. That's close up combat.
Yeah, and then that's it. Yeah, and then he discovers old Erica Elenik when he goes up to the higher decks and he gets to like the mess hall, doesn't he? Kicks the cake out the way, it activates, and we get one of the best moments in the film.
Yeah, where she pops out with her knockers out, which not quite as erotic as it was when I watched it when I was about 14.
I remember going to see the cinema, because I remember I went with my old man, and when you went into the Odeon, or whatever it was called at the time, and you had, I mean, I haven't been there for years, but you'd walk into the cinema and there was the kiosks.
Yeah.
Where you ordered your tickets from, and they had the banner for Under Siege underneath, and I always remember that. That was just vividly, I can remember that. But what I like about her character is she's not portrayed, even at this point in time, she's not portrayed as the stereotypical blonde bimbo who just gets her tits out.
Yeah.
You know,
well, even though she has, they did.
Well, she has, yeah. But she's scared out of her mind. She doesn't know what's going on. But very quickly, especially when Ryback saves a few of the crew members who become like his posse.
Yeah.
She really steps up where they haven't. They end up following her. You know, she's got no weapons training. Seagal's like, here's a gun. This is a safety.
Yeah, I see it's first. 1 minute she's cutting out the cake with nothing on and she's all done. It's so 90s, the way she's wearing the cap.
That's the worst thing because she's got like the tactical gear on.
Yeah.
She suddenly changes, like her persona completely changes and she's gone from like almost like a frightened child to like a battle ready like heroine.
Yeah.
And she's willing to stand toe to toe with Seagal to try and save everyone on the ship and do the right thing. But yet the worst thing they've done to her is it's very 90s, they've put a hat on her backwards and then she's just got this little tuft of blonde hair coming out of it.
So it's sort of backwards but to the side.
Yeah.
Very much early 90s, very much Fresh Prince type.
Fresh Prince, it's exactly what I was thinking of actually. There's no reason for her to have this hat on. But then you just end up having some really cool action sequences and they really utilise the entirety of the ship, don't they? Because there's even a scene where I think he plant a bomb or something, and it goes off and he goes overboard.
Yeah.
And then he manages to pull himself back up. And this is the difference between at this moment. This is the difference between Seagal of then and the Seagal of now. He struggles to get back up onto the ship. When he has, he's significantly injured.
Oh, well, when they've got all that over his back, because they keep throwing the...
they're throwing the hooks, aren't they?
Throwing grappling hooks over at him, aren't they?
Yeah, so they actually like do him in. He's bleeding. He's in pain. He's acting as though he's in pain.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, it would just like bounce off his...
Yeah.
You know, off his shoulder. But at this point, he's very much like Rambo, isn't he? Like when Rambo jumps off the cliff, he's... Now our hero is—he's hurt. He is vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know, he needs the support from his posse around him to complete the mission. He now can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And every now and again, he does his little martial arts bit, and there's that really cool bit where the terrorists have managed to get Erika Elenik, and it's on. They're on the deck, and they're like, she's sort of tussling with him. Get off me! Get off me! And he's hiding, isn't he? And he steps out, takes out one guy quickly. I think he kicks another guy, does the two guys holding her with a pistol, like headshots.
He does, yeah. Sorry,
and he's
yeah.
just like really like it's just a really fucking cool moment. Like this is like how good this guy is to save the day. Grabs her, then the guys on the vantage points are like trying to take them out with machine guns, and he gets her back inside. And it's just like bam, bam, bam. Down, yeah. Oh, mate, I've always enjoyed it, and I hadn't watched it for a very long time. And when I watched it the other day with the older significant other, she'd never seen it. And I loved it so much. I was like, sat there at the edge of my seat, and it was brilliant. I absolutely enjoyed it. She enjoyed
Bulletproof
it.
Fest. I love this
guy. Yeah, but it is, you know, and it does. They utilise many different parts of the ship, which to orchestrate really sort of like cool and orchestrated action scenes. And you've got the humour, the drama, the action. Seagal gives a fuck in this movie. You've got great villains.
I think the Tommy Lee and Boosie are great. I really like them. And I think Steven Seagal, I'm not a huge fan of his stuff, but then I haven't seen as many of his films as obviously you must have when you were growing up.
He was one of them. I always thought, because he always had an ego. He always had like a real ego. There's always that like famous story or rumour where, because he used to be, I'm sure he used to be like a martial arts, what do you call them?
Sensei?
No, like
guru.
When you're helping someone on set, advisor,
advisor, yeah,
sort of thing. And I'm sure he worked on a film with Connery.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be like a martial arts advisor, and they got into, I think, was it Connery? I think it's Connery, I could be wrong. But they, yeah, that's the state of him now. He goes around looking like that all the time. And it's just kind of like, maybe it's not Connery. See if you can find it on there. But he has this like alteration with the actor, and sort of saying, you know, I could do you at any point. And as the story goes, they have like a little competition, they have a fight off set, and whoever it is supposedly gets Seagal into a headlock or something like that where he shits himself. he gets him in a wrist lock. Oh, no, sorry, no, I'm skipping. No, he breaks, no, that's right. Yeah, there was one, I think, with Connery, and he breaks Connery's wrist.
Right. But
Connery continues.
Oh.
But I can't remember if that's an argument. Then there's another one where there's another rumour that, yeah, someone gets him in a headlock or something like that, and he shits himself, but he doesn't ever talk about it.
What, literally?
Yeah, literally.
But again, it's not Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting him, is it?
I can't remember. It's just one of those funny story rumours that gone around. But I'm sure, yeah, he breaks Big Tam's wrist at some point. and then he starts making movies and goes to movies. I mean, he pretty much kills his career with... Did you ever see On Deadly Ground he did with Michael Caine? His environmental sort of film.
No.
Where Michael Caine's like the oil baron, and Michael Caine even says that one of probably the biggest mistake, I think, of his career. Because he did do it for the money. But Seagal has a stab at directing on that one. That's the only film he directs. But Under Siege, for me, just in terms of like an action movie, like a 90-minute action movie, it does tick all of the boxes.
It does what it says on the tin, yeah.
It does, yeah.
I'm trying to find this on here because it does say there's a recent one. Steven Seagal allegedly crapped his pants as he was choked out.
Yeah, but who is it again?
By Toughest Man Alive. Hollywood Unman, Steven Seagal has stringently denied claims that he was choked out by the toughest man alive on the set of Out for Justice and soiled himself in the process. There aren't many tougher than Hollywood hard men. Steven Seagal, Stanifest Martial Arts, who turned 71 on Monday, punched and kicked his way, a real-life action hero.
Yeah, so you see his martial arts skills in Under Siege in a variety of different scenes, and as it all culminates at the end, it's the classic good versus evil story action movie where there's the face off between him and Tommy Lee Jones in the command center, and then when these two characters have been finally brought together at the end of the film, they recognize each other.
Yeah.
You know, and he's he's Steven Seagal's superior, isn't he? You find out that at some point or other, he's like, you know, you've...
Because he says, I don't know you.
Yeah. And he calls him sir, doesn't he? He calls Tommy Jones sir. And then the brilliance of this is to say, the classic action movie, they have little fisticuffs, but they're doing it with knives. So you're seeing how both of them are really well trained with knives. Yeah. Steven Seagal's doing all this whizzy with the knife and stuff. But it's really smart. It's really well choreographed. And it's over and done with quite quickly.
It is.
But it's not rushed.
No, but they're not. One of the annoying things is the only bit I didn't like is the fact that he gets the knife in his mouth. Tommy Lee goes to get him in the face, but he gets the knife by biting down on it.
Mm.
It's not even funny.
It's got to be a little bit of unbelievability. Yeah.
And then he fucking pushes his eye out.
Tommy Lee Jones' eye.
And then stabs him in the top of the head.
Yeah, then he shoves him through a computer screen.
Yeah.
I mean, just to make sure, I mean, if the knife hasn't gone right through your skull and right through your brain, it hasn't done the job, shove him straight through a computer screen.
Bang.
Yeah, done.
The guy that's supposed to have got him in the headlock and made him shit himself is a guy called Ivan Judo Jean LaBelle. And he was a American stunt performer, actor, and professional wrestler, also expert in judo. Popularized grappling in professional fighting circles, serving as a modern mixed martial arts. He worked on over 1,000 films and TV shows and authored 12 books.
Busy guy.
Double hard bastard. And he was known as the toughest man in Hollywood. LaBelle has been reported as the inspiration for the character of Cliff Booth, Brad Pitt, really? In Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. However, Tarantino disputes this claim.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Is this your son? This is my stunt double, Clint Booth.
Clint Booth.
Oh, Clint Booth. Yeah, Clint Booth.
Clint Booth. Goddamn shithead. Anyway, that's Under Siege. We've been rambling on about this for a while. Another thing.
Brilliant.
It's good. I'm not as big a fan as yourself, but I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
I hated the fact that at the end of it, he kissed, what's her name, as if he got the girl.
Yeah, I would agree with you. For me, that resembles what he's like now. It's almost as though she didn't know, and then she just kind of goes along with it for the scene.
Yeah.
Because you've got one of his posse really pining after her, but he doesn't do anything about it. He says about she's mine, but never does anything, which sounds quite familiar to us, doesn't it?
He actually says she's my future wife as well.
Yeah. But he ain't got the cojones to do anything.
But what would have been good is if she'd got with him, sort of thing, or if he'd said to her, do you fancy?
It's not believable, is it? I mean,
it's not, because they've been through that, and then all right, been through a lot, but he kisses her as if it's like his right to, you know what I mean? It's just like that.
But the relationship, I always saw it as though he was more of a father figure. He was the protector, you know? Because, I mean, she's probably, early to mid-20s. At that point, I mean, what, 30 years ago? See, he's like 40.
Yeah.
But it's just the way I see it. Like, it's the protector and the protectee. You know?
But yeah, I thought that as well. Because also, he's not really that bothered when she's there out of the cake and everything. And there's no chemistry between them like that throughout the whole film.
And there's not such a suggestive, is there?
No. And then at the end of it, he kisses her and it's like, what? Why?
The guy just stands on the side like, here, Casey.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, you didn't. That wasn't really necessary.
And then the other thing I didn't like at the end of it, because it's a shame, because it doesn't completely ruin the film, but you just sort of get to the film, you're like, what? He's back there in his uniform again, which is kind of good to see, because at one point,
the captain sort of says,
doesn't he? Yeah, he says, put the whites on.
Yeah.
And he refuses to put his whites on, and he sort of comes back full circle, but it's the second bit with her, and suddenly she's become like a member of the crew.
Yeah,
it's like is he now the captain, and she's a member of the crew. I don't know. I mean, it could have just.
I just got the impression that she was just there and out of a marker's respect for the captain. She was wearing their
gear,
but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a fun ride.
Definitely couldn't be a wren.
No, good action movie on a boat ship.
Yeah, Under Siege. Just a quick bit of self promotion here, Kev, if you don't mind.
Go for it, Sam.
This Sunday, I will be at Andy's Tot and Toy Fair, which is a fucking amazing toy fair. Lots of stores, lots of great retro stuff, old and new, plenty of toys, enough to get me popping at least, mate. But I'll have my own store there, selling a load of old plastic shit if anyone is interested.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Where can they find us, Kev? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now Threads. Any emails or recommendations, pop us over an electronic mail to podculturevultures@gmail.com.
Beautiful. And please remember to subscribe, follow, and rate. and all the other business that goes with your social media claptrap. But until next time, catch you on a flippity flop.
Gully bye.
Is that it? You do anything else?
No, there's no more.
Right then, we'll fuck off.
This is great banter. It really is.